process of creation. Day 6, animals, creeping things, and man. Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 to 31. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, that is, reptiles, rodents, etc., and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. God's activities on this day are most important because they intimately involve our origin, lives, and future. The creative record of this day is much longer than any of the others, and is even enlarged upon in Genesis chapter 2. Just as the earth had brought forth vegetation, so now it brought forth, or produced, living creatures, Hebrew nephesh chai. Cattle were made to complete the food chain necessary for man's sustenance, and, after sin entered the world, for sacrifice. The King James Version renders the Hebrew word behemoth, English behemoth, as beasts. This word gives a distinction between cattle, which we called beasts when I worked on a farm, from men and women, who are generally today regarded as animals, but in fact are on a higher plane altogether and created for an altogether higher purpose. Although animals and man were formed and created on the sixth day, they are separated by the expression, "And God saw that it was good," and treated quite differently in the divine record, because they are different. Men and women are unique. "Yes, as one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. For all is vanity, all go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. But man has a conscience, which gives a moral dimension to men and women that no other creature has. The spirit of a beast inclines to the earth, from whence its food is taken to satisfy its animal appetite. The spirit of a man aims higher, to music and the arts, to science and knowledge, to spiritual enlightenment. As it is written, 'Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward,' or 'exalts itself to the highest,' as Brother John Thomas puts it, 'and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth.'" This from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. In the New Testament, James draws out from this an evident truth when he says of some, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." That was James chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 continues, "And God said, 'Let us make man,'" the Hebrew Adam, "'in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.'" Why was man made differently and different? Why was man made at all? John Thomas wrote, "But among all these was not one fit to exercise dominion over the animal world, or to reflect the divine attributes." This from Elpis Israel, chapter 2. Man is made in the image of God. As he matures, he is to develop God's likeness in himself. He is to manifest God's glorious attributes in the manner that his Son Jesus Christ did when on earth, and will do so again when he returns from heaven to complete the work of creation in his Father's name. Therefore, in speaking of the use or misuse of the tongue, James writes, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing." My brethren, these things ought not so to be. James 3, verse 9 and 10. On reflection, we notice that on days 5 and 6, we have living creatures in the sea and in the air and on land corresponding to the three divisions of this planet. Today, man moves in all these three divisions of the earth, but man has always moved in these divisions in a spiritual sense. The disciples were made fishers of men to draw us out of the sea of nations. We can be either earthy or heavenly in our thinking, Ephesians 1 verse 3. It all depends upon our state of mind, whether or not we have fellowship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Man created. So God created man, Adam Bara. In his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created, Bara, he them. It should be noted that the Hebrew for Adam is the word dam, prefixed by a single letter. Appropriately, dam is the Hebrew word for blood, used in the expression, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood," in Leviticus 17, verse 11. The verb bara, to create, used three times in emphasis in this verse, is only used in Scripture where God is the subject of the verb, for example, chapter 2, verse 7. The Hebrew word for made, used on day 4, asar, is of much wider application. Significantly, although it was said in verse 26, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness," in fact, man was created only in the image. Likeness has to be developed over our lifetime. This phrase sets before us three things. First, the great theme of Scripture, which is God's manifestation. Secondly, it places stress upon our dependence on our Creator, for an image is not the original. Thirdly, moral values are set by our Creator, not ourselves, and can only be inculcated by listening to His word and prayerfully seeking His help. Moral values do not come through evolution. Evolution has no morality. Today, God's work is in our rebirth in His image and likeness. Three Hebrew words, created, formed, and made, are used to describe man's creation. These are brought together in Isaiah 43, verse 7, where the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, speaks of "everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." That from Genesis 1, verse 27. "I have formed him," from Genesis 2, verse 7. "Yea, I have made him," from Genesis 1, verse 26. The record of man's creation is the first time the word God, Elohim, is used in a plural context. At first, God was alone. Now, for the first time, the angels, us, our, as they say, are seen as God's agents in carrying out his wishes. Why do we say angels when they're not specifically mentioned in Genesis chapter 1? Because the book of Job makes it clear that the angels were there during the formation of conditions for life upon the earth, when the Lord says to Job, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fashioned? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" Job 38, verse 4-8. These sons of God are the angels, as we see from Luke 2, verse 13 to 14. They were there doing the work which the architect required of them to fulfil his plans. They do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word, Psalm 103, verse 20. When, where, and how they were formed, we are not told. What we do know is that they appear as young men and, presumably, women. The first man and woman created. It is significant that the word bara, create, is used of man who, if faithfully obedient, is destined to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Of no other creature is it said that they were made in the image and likeness of God. Some read verse 26 as saying that man was made in the image of God, but the woman was not. This cannot be right. The record indicates that this denotes both male and female when it says, male and female created he them. That the word man in Genesis chapter 1 is generic, there is no definite article before the word man, is confirmed by Genesis chapter 5, and this is accepted by Brother Thomas in Elpis Israel. So we continue in Genesis 5, verse 1 and 2. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. We also use the word man to indicate mankind, that is, male and female. Misreading these verses has, at times, given rise to inexcusable treatment of woman as being inferior to man. I will say more about this when we come to consider the formation of the woman recorded in Genesis chapter 2. Here we will see that, unlike the female counterparts of the male amongst animals, the woman was formed quite differently, and for a very good reason. It may be that man and woman were both created on the sixth day because it is not possible for either alone to represent the full range of characteristics of our Creator. The Lord Jesus Christ is the exception here, but even he will marry his bride, his corporate body of believers, when he comes again. The first man. The first man would have been the most perfect ever in human history, before sin left its mark and mortality made its inroads into our physical well-being in the ageing process. Today we would be a poor reflection of what the first man was then. Even of God's Son at his first appearing, as it is written, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him, Isaiah 53, verse 2. Yet he is the only one born of a woman, of whom it can truly be said that he achieved God's likeness. He alone could say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. John 14, verse 9. He is therefore described after his resurrection as being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Here surely is the fulfillment of the Creator's intentions when he made the first pair in his image and likeness. Man is not an animal in the normal sense. He is set apart from the animal kingdom. He was made in the image and likeness of God. No other animal is or ever will be, so that he can exercise dominion in God's name over what God has made. Image implies with a similar appearance and character, see Genesis 5 verse 1, and likeness may be used to qualify that statement for the simple reason that man is not in the precise image of God, but in his resemblance. Image and likeness infers God manifestation. That is, the phrase stresses our dependence upon the Creator. Also, that mankind is made with the mental capacity to develop a character like God's. But we are not copies born in God's likeness. Likeness or resemblance, implying moral values and character, is something to be developed over time. This is important. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. We read in Luke 12, verse 48. So Paul writes, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3, verse 2. We do this by reading God's word, by prayer, then baptism into Jesus Christ, and a steady application of the principles learned. In this way, we put on the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, Colossians 3 verse 10. To fail in this is to become no more than an animal, despite the wonderful advantages we are given at birth. Man's dominion. By growing in spiritual maturity, man's dominion was intended to be over all the earth, Hebrew Adamah, ground, from which he was made. Sadly, 6,000 years of sin has made inroads into that image, so that today we are poor and sickly copies of the created original. Proof? Adam lived until he was 930 years old. We have 70 years, or, if we are strong, a little more. But as Psalm 90 verse 10 says, yet is there strength, labour, and sorrow. This dominion over all things begins, then, with dominion over oneself. This future dominion is an essential and integral part of the reward promised for faithfulness. That is made clear by its mention in Psalm 8 and several New Testament epistles. For example, Psalm 8, verse 6 to 8, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things, under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Psalm 8 is extensively quoted by Paul in Hebrews chapter 2, where Paul concludes his quotation with the comment, for it became him, God, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation, Jesus Christ, perfect through sufferings. Hebrews 2 verse 10. The Lord himself said after his resurrection, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. Paul also wrote, then cometh the end, when he shall have given up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24 to 28, and similar passages. This dominion should be carried out responsibility, with understanding and sensitivity. God does not allow wanton killing of mankind, animals, and sea creatures that he has created for his glory and pleasure. Bloodlust is not godliness. Yes, man and woman are made to rule, verse 28, but that is the same Hebrew word that is used in verse 16 of the sun and moon ruling the day and night for man's benefit. To rule is not to be master, but servant for the benefit of all. It is not a license to be selfish, arrogant and despotic, ungodly. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. This is the second time that God has blessed Hebrew Barak and said, Be fruitful and multiply. The first time it was said on day 5 to the great fish and winged fowl. Now it is said to the man and woman. This first commandment has never been rescinded. Though it is recognized that not all marry, and not all married couples are able to have children. It is, however, a sound principle that works against a self-centered life, and is intended to fill the earth with godly people, not a godless generation. In this way, the earth is to be filled. Hebrew male means to fill, complete, or plenish. Not necessarily replenish, and was to be replenished, male, again after the flood, Genesis 9, verse 1 and 7. Sadly, by the time of the flood, the earth was filled, male, with violence, Genesis 6, verse 13. On a far better note, God says, Do not I fill, again the Hebrew word male, heaven and earth, that is, by his Spirit. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. No doubt this first command was also given in anticipation of sin and its consequence, which is death. Romans 6, verse 23. In the days of our mortality, reproduction is essential to maintain the population. But I'll say more about this when commenting on Genesis chapter 3. But death is not evolution. It is devolution. Genesis 1, verse 29 to 30 tells us that at that time food for man and beast came from fruit, grains, and herbs. It seems that consumption of meat came later when death had entered into the world. And then God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Six times God has said, it was good. Five times he has said that it was so. Now, on completion of the 6 days, he says, it was very good. These phrases totally exclude the idea of evolution, but do not exclude the ability to produce variation within a species by controlled breeding to enhance certain characteristics. In any case, the knowledge of genetics necessary to do this was not first discovered by scientists or Monk Mendel studying sweet peas, but was revealed to Jacob 3,500 years ago by an angel of God in Genesis 30, verses 38 to 42, and chapter 31, verses 7 to 12. What does the phrase very good mean? It was certainly not peculiar to the man, for everything he had made was very good, including the serpent. Nor did it mean that man had desires that only worked for good. His desires could also work for evil, as later events were to prove, in Genesis 3, verse 6, and 1 John 2, verse 16. Though initially he did not have a propensity to sin as we do. John Thomas was surely correct when he says in his book Help Us Israel, the original condition of the animal world was very good. Unperverted by the introduction of evil, all its constituents fulfilled the purpose of its existence. Begotten of the same power and formed of the substance of a common mother, Earth, they were all animated by the same spirit and lived in peace and harmony together. Formed to be living, breathing frames, though of different species, in God they lived and moved and had their being, and displayed his wisdom, power, and handiwork. This from Help Us Israel, chapter 2. In other words, what God had made, and that included the topographical features of the earth as well as all living things, fitted the purpose for which it was made and worked exactly as intended. It was complete. It did not require improving or repair. And there was no evil inherent in the world that God had made. Psalm 148 is a wonderful psalm on this matter. We shall read it. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them for ever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, that is, the land or sea monster, and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapours, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Hallelujah.